not everything supernatural is a miracle. Every miracle is supernatural. Example, regeneration is not a miracle, but it's a supernatural work of God. A miracle is a visible manifestation of the invisible God. A miracle is something that is external because it has verification power. Sign, power, and wonder are the three words for miracle, and sign is the one that says it signifies something. So the regeneration is not a sign. Regeneration is an invisible, internal act. It's miraculous, supernatural, but it's not a miracle. Miracle is a technical thing that's a subcategory of the supernatural, namely events that occur in the external world and have confirmatory value while they occur. The second thing to notice here is that miracles depend upon His unchangeable will. They are not things that you can name it, claim it. They're not things, there's not a power there to tap into like the Force in Star Wars. That's a pantheistic concept of supernormal. And I've come only in recent years to the conclusion that we do a disservice to the biblical concept of miracle when we refer to these other events as supernatural. Almost all the great classical theologians, and again, Augustine, Anselm, Aquinas, and the great theologians, said only God can do miracles. Satan cannot do miracles. Warfield held the same view, and yet today it's very common for people, Walter Martin's an example, when he the manuscript for my book on Signs and Wonders, which Satan can perform miracles. And yet throughout the book you're denying that Satan can do miracles. Well, that's a very important point. You just look at all the classical theologians, and there's a very important reason why Satan cannot perform miracle. Because a miracle, by definition, is an act of God. And Satan cannot perform acts of God. All you have to do is think about it for a moment. God is infinite, Satan is finite. Only God can create, Satan can't. So we know right there that Satan and God are in two totally different categories. And I think a lot of the anti-cult ministries today are really giving indirect credence to Satan by giving him too much power. He does not have the power to perform supernatural acts. And what is he doing? Most of what Satan does can be categorized in two subcategories. One, the master magician. Two, the super scientist. Let's take them one by one. Satan is a trickster. He's a deceiver. When the words signs, wonder, and power are used of Satan in 2 Thessalonians 2, in the Antichrist doing it with power, it says that they are false signs and wonders. It's qualified. When these kind of things occurred in the Bible, it says they did them by magical powers, the magicians of Egypt. Miracles and magic are two different categories. Magic is trickery. Either the hand is quicker than the eye, fooling the mind, fooling the eyes. There are different ways to fool people with magic, but it's trickery. You're being fooled. Satan is the great fooler. He is the world's best deceiver. So he simulates miracles by purely natural powers. But remember, natural for Satan is a much higher level of natural than natural for humans, because Satan has super intelligence. He's much smarter than we are. So he's a much better magician. So he can fool the world's best magician by his tricks. They're just much better tricks.
There's no question he's a deceiver, but it's also true that Christ needs to put his resurrection in a separate category. And a lot of people would say that the reason he did that is because where the line is drawn is that he cannot create life or recreate life. But that was the reason that Christ was saying that we need to, no way to deny this.
Egypt.
So there seems to be some evidence that up to a certain point, Satan can actually do it. Now, a lot of it is obviously just during deception, but I don't know if you're going all the way on this.
Yeah, I'm going all the way, and I'll explain that in terms of that very illustration. Let's take Moses and the magicians of Egypt. What were they able to simulate? Snake. The rod becoming the snake.
Water
turning to blood. And then where did they stop? And say, this is the finger of God. When he made lice out of dust, says the finger of God. So verify. Certainly we know, at least, that they cannot create life. Satan cannot create life. Now I argue that the other ones they did were only tricks too. On two grounds, one exegetical and then just the other theological. On the exegetical grounds, it says, this they did by their magical arts. They were doing them by magical powers. These were tricks. I have a friend who lived there for 20 years, and he said he's seen them do some of those same things. He's seen them, for example, they have the power to hypnotize or to enchant snakes. So they look like a rod, and then they throw them down and they wiggle away. They're really snakes to begin with that they make look like rods. They're not rods that really wiggle on the ground later. He said there's also an element that if you throw in the water, it will look like blood. He said he's seen them do that very thing. So he believes that these things can be done. And when you think of what modern magicians are doing, even Christian magicians, Danny Corum and Andre Cole, for example, when you think of what they are doing, or even some of the non-Christian magicians making the Statue of Liberty vanish, making a Learjet vanish off the runway, and we know it's just a trick. We know they're not really vanishing. The magicians of Egypt didn't do anything as great as what the modern magicians are doing. You need to read Andre Cole's book, Miracle and Magic. It's a great book because in it he shows how a lot of this stuff, including so-called resurrections from the dead, he verified. He went to in some African country, some chief had claimed to, or some witch doctor had claimed to resurrect somebody from the dead, and he went and researched it, and they had dug a tunnel, and the guy hit himself, and Beetlejuice came out, and they had a blank gun, and you know he came back in. I mean, it's very, very fascinating reading. So I'm contending on really three grounds. One, exegetical grounds. Two, an overall theological grounds that only God can do miracles. And three, an empirical magical ground that magicians, including Houdini, said that he can reduplicate anything these people can do, and magicians are reduplicating it. Yeah, I said there are three grounds for it. And the theological ground is that a miracle, by definition in the Bible, is an act of God. And only God can perform acts of God. That would be the theological ground.
Do you think that was
just a problem text? My own impression of the text is that God intervened in the witch's tent and performed a miracle because she was surprised too. She was rebuked by it and she was surprised by it, that she did not bring Samuel up, but that God brought Samuel back and rebuked both Saul and the witch for what they were doing.
I'm going to another theological class that there are no black magic and white magic. And so given with Andre Cole,
now, see, the word magic is used in a different sense in America. The word magic in America is used for illusionism. They are they're technically illusionist, but we use the word magic to cover what illusionists do. And the word magic in most other places, including historically and in many other countries, is a word connected only with the occult. But these, quote, Christian magicians are really Christian illusionists. They're entertainers, and they're just entertaining a crowd by their ability to do certain things. It has nothing to do with the occult or the supernatural.
Passage also is possibility of resurrection there. And it seems like the Bible for them, I've asked the Bible for them on that, and they seem to stand that they believe that this false deed was resurrected as a two-faced position and Pentecost position. So on the basis of that, I don't see it clarifying as saying false signs or false wonders. It seems indicated that these are signs, and your definition of signs and wonders, that's what they're doing.
Okay, and the same in Revelation 16, you could add that the spirits of demons performing miracles at the end of the tribulation period. And now we have all of the passages. I mean, Revelation 13, Revelation 16, Matthew 24, you might throw in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we done many wonderful things in your name? He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then 2 Thessalonians 2. That exhausts all of the passages that clearly use the words or imply signs and wonders of things that Satan or his cohorts can do. So there's no question that the words are used. The question is whether Satan has the same supernatural powers and whether both the context and the adjectives used in those contexts qualify the kinds of signs and wonders they do. Now, in the one passage, we definitely have adjectives calling them lying signs and wonders. Now, if they're called lying signs and wonders explicitly in one passage because they're performed by Satan or his cohorts, then they are lying signs and wonders whether they're called that or not in the other passages, because they're not just sometimes lying signs and wonders and other times not. And in the other passages, the context clearly indicates, my goodness, you're talking about the Antichrist and setting up an image and asking to be worshipped. There's no question, he's a deceiver. As to whether the person was really resurrected, the text does not say that he was really resurrected there. And I think on other grounds in the Bible, it's pretty clear that only God can resurrect the dead. So I think we'd be on very shaky theological grounds. And we would lose the total apologetic value of the unique Christian miracle, which is resurrection. Because suppose Satan can do it. Suppose Satan can really resurrect the dead. Then how do we know that the unique resurrections of Christ, of Lazarus, or of himself are really divine acts? We don't really know. I know, but so do Satan's followers say the same thing. See, it loses its total apologetic value. Once you place Satan's powers, and, you know, you almost have to step back from an issue like this and look at it theologically. Aren't we kind of exalting Satan making almost a dualistic universe, where you have almost co-equal powers being... I think that Satan really rejoices in that kind of thing. I think that Satan really says he's getting a lot of press out of it, and he's getting a lot more power than he has, when I think what we need to do is pin on him exactly what the Bible says. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's defeated. And his powers are absolutely nothing compared to God. He can fake and simulate and do a lot of things to deceive a lot of people, but he doesn't have, he's just a creature, and his powers are limited as anything else in this universe. It's a finite creature. I think that's the proper perspective to put it in. And whatever we say, regardless of the semantical debate here as to whether the term miracle or supernatural ought to be used of Satan, I think what we have to do is to say God is in a unique category because, number one, only he is infinite, Satan is finite. Number two, only God can create life, Satan can't. Number three, only God can restore life, which is the same as creating it, really, Satan can't. So whatever else we want to say of how powerful Satan's powers are and whether we should use the word miracle or supernatural, let's always preserve this infinite gulf between God and Satan and not give Satan too much press.
What he would say then, Satan, I understand the category difference between God and Satan. I'm not far as saying it was finite and created beings, but as far as I'm trying to understand the one passage comparing that with the Matthew and Revelation passage, by definition of a miracle which supersedes that which is physical, what he's saying is Satan cannot enter that realm or he cannot supersede.
No, I was getting to that. I didn't quite get to it. I knew that it would evoke an interesting discussion because this is a hotly debated topic. But my two points are that once I acknowledge that only God can perform miracles, it's incumbent upon me to explain the supernormal thing Satan is doing, and I use the word supernormal deliberately. I reserve supernatural for God, so at least groove into the terminology I'm using here. Only God can do supernatural things. Only God can do true miracles. But Satan can do supernormal things. He can do paranormal things and supernormal things. How does he do them? Primarily in two ways. Super scientist and master magician. And the master magician, I was just developing that a little bit. The master magician, you talk to Danny Corum. I think the people in the best position to talk on this topic are the Christian illusionists, because they know how powerful the ability to deceive is. That's their business, deceiving for entertaining purpose. And they know, and they have exposed both Danny Corum and also Andre Cole, as well as the Amazing Randy, and this is where skeptics, thank God for skeptics, you know, like Amazing Randy, who follows these people around, debunks everything that they do. They know that the power to deceive is so great that many people believe it's really a supernatural power that those people had, when once you explain it, there's nothing supernatural about it at all. And the book is just filled with good illustrations. I won't go into them now. Secondly, super scientists, bringing down fire from heaven, Revelation 13. Scientists can do that right now. Scientists can do that right now. Now, think of what a atomic weapon is to a Hottentot. Satan's advanced knowledge of super laser or whatever the next thing would be is so great that he could even fool the greatest scientist in the world. What a scientist right now cannot conceive of doing with the present scientific knowledge, Satan already knows how to do. And by purely natural powers, tapping these natural powers, can do these types of things. So I don't at all find it difficult to explain anything the Bible says Satan does. Including, the other big toughie is the book of Job, where apparently Satan had something to do with a whirlwind. Because you remember, God gave him leave and said, okay, go ahead, and a whirlwind came, and which one did the whirlwind take? Was that his sons or his stocks or his children? The whirlwind flattened the house and killed his children. So, including that, I mean, scientists can create whirlwinds, and a super scientist could create a super whirlwind. So I don't have any problem explaining anything Satan does, because those two categories, master deceiver and super scientist, would do it. That gives him, now there's possibly a third category, if you don't consider any of these. Psychosomatic. There's no doubt in my mind that the mind has tremendous powers over the body. I've seen it in my own life, where, you know, I had terrible allergy. I've told this story before, terrible allergy, and I sneezed at flowers and found out they were plastic flowers. You know, and I mean, I've seen how my mind tricks me, and I've seen people healed, psychosomatic. Dr. Paul Meyer healed a girl just a year or so ago who was blind by just telling her to go home and sleep in another room. She was psychosomatically blind. He found out by examining her there was nothing wrong. She should be able to see, but she had been blind for some time. So he told her, go home and sleep in another room. When you wake up, you'll be able to see. And she's been able to see ever since. So the mind has a tremendous power. Now, if Satan is the super mind, and he knows how those mind-body things work, let's just take one theory of how Satan works in a body or through a mind. Let's take the John Eccles, one of the great scientists in the world on the brain. He wrote the book The Body and the Brain and Its Mind, and who did work to show that there's a difference between the mind and the brain. He believes that the mind ticks off the neurons in the brain, and that the neurons in the brain are kind of like the computer keyboard, and that the mind, by intending things, can set off these little neurons and then and create the whole thing. Now let us suppose, on our theory of demon possession, that when someone yields his mind to the devil can actually come in and somehow get the control panel, get access to the control panel of the brain, and can tick off those neurons. He can create any sort of illusion in that person possible, because once you get at the control panel there, you can mess up everything that comes from it. So I believe that Satan, being a super mind, as bodies and minds yield to him, works in a paranormal, supernormal way through them. If you want to make that a third category, I think those three together explains everything Satan can do, and none of them are supernatural. None of them are suspending natural laws any more than when I cured myself, which I did, of a terrible allergy by saying, hey, you're sneezing at plastic flowers. Something's wrong. It's got to be up here, largely, any more than that was a supernatural event in my life. That wasn't supernatural. It was psychosomatic. So I would list all of those in those three categories. Any other comments or questions? Yes?
So would you say that the Satan has the power or the ability to
do supernatural things? That's right. He's not a supernatural being. He's a finite, limited creature.
So what is the thing in Revelation and Job?
Well, that's simply saying that although he has power, he has the powers right now to overwhelm you. If God weren't protecting you and you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you and you didn't have a guardian angel, and he can't touch you. There's a fence built around you and he can't go any farther than God will let him in using the powers he now has. He's limited in the powers he now has on you and me as believers. But in Job's case, that was a special case where God was being put to the test. Really, God was being put to the test, not Job. It was really a fight between Satan and God. And Satan was saying, yeah, he's just serving you because look at all the good stuff you did for him. And then God gave him permission to use the powers he had, but he didn't give him supernatural powers. Okay, I didn't make myself clear before. What I was saying is that when the Scripture uses the word signs, wonder, and power, the same three words of Satan, it either, one, explicitly puts an adjective there, lying signs and wonders, or two, implies it by the context. And the fact that it explicitly says it once, we know the other ones are lying signs too, because Satan is doing them and God said what he does is lying signs and wonders. So by no means are we challenging the inerrancy of Scripture. We're trying to interpret it in the context in which it is written. And secondly, take all the other Scriptures which say Satan is defeated, he's limited, he's just a creature, only God is infinite and create life and resurrect the dead, and put those in balance and put the whole thing together and come up with a systematic view of it. By their magical powers.
Yes. But at the end of it, God overruled. I think when we talk about Satan doing anything lies, we're not talking about the context of what he's doing. We're talking about the goal of what he's doing. The goal of what he's doing is to get us away from God.
Okay, for the sake of argument here, the easiest way when you have a semantical problem, to avoid the semantical problem, is just grant the other side the terminology. So for the sake of the argument, I'll just say, Satan can perform miracles. And I'll make the same point that I'm trying to make without doing that. Let us agree that both God and Satan, that they can both perform miracles. Okay, we have, both of them can do miracles. Now, everyone, once you agree to the use of the term and say both of them are performing supernatural, we must also agree that there's a difference, that we'll call that miracle A and miracle B, because the kind of miracles God can do, as you just said, is that he can overpower. So there's one thing, that whenever there's a contest between God and Satan, God always wins out. Two, that God is infinite and Satan is finite, right? Three, that only God can create life. Four, that only God can recreate life, resurrect the dead. Would you go with me that far? See, if you don't go at least that far, then I don't see, one, the scriptural grounds, and two, it loses all the miracles in the Bible, the explicit purpose of which is to confirm a message from God, lose their apologetic value. Because Satan can do the same thing, and epistemologically, we're in an absolute no man's land, an absolute quagmire, because we don't know which ones God is confirming and which ones Satan is confirming, because Satan can do exactly the same type of things that God. So, call it miracle, call it supernatural, call it whatever you want, but make sure that you make a very important distinction between the kinds of, quote, miracles Satan can do and the kinds of miracles God can do, because they aren't in the same ballpark at all. And since now I'm leaving that argument and going back to my first one, since they aren't in the same ballpark at all, and since they are so different, and since the Bible calls Satan's lying ones, why do we use the same term? We're just asking for confusion. We're just asking for trouble by using the same term. The Bible doesn't use it in an unqualified sense. Always qualifies it by the context or by an adjective. And I think we're giving too much PR, too much credit, too much power to Satan, way beyond what the Bible does or way beyond what our systematic theology should permit. So I'm just saying, as for me and my house, we're not going to use the word miracle or supernatural anymore of Satan, because I don't think he deserves to be called that in the same breath with what the Bible calls a divine miracle.
We still need to decide, though, whether it's a qualitative
difference between
what Satan is. Oh, sure. This is fine as long as you don't put Satan down in our category. And there's not just a quantitative difference with us, there's a qualitative difference.
Okay. And how would you spell that out?
Well, I think
okay, let's take a few. You're saying that we cannot do miracles at all as such as human beings. So that would be one difference. Okay. We're going to call... All right, let's follow that through. Let's suppose that we make a third category. We say that there's a qualitative difference here, and we won't debate about the word. I would like to say that there's only a quantitative difference. He has different powers, but we got to at least distinguish them. What are the types of things that we can do? What are the types of things that Satan can do that we can't do? Name one. No, no, I don't mean with God's power. What are types of things that with human powers we can't do, but Satan, with whatever you call his powers, can do? Give me some examples. We can do that. Our scientists can do that.
But you're saying he's beyond
us. We're dialoguing here. You give me the examples, and I'll show you how every one of them is simply a matter of degree. None of them are a matter of kind. So that's my whole argument, that what we've got here is simply Satan has greater intelligence and he's more evil, so he's able to, he's got more power for sure, because intelligence is power, and therefore he can deceive better than you and I can.
We
cannot be invisible. Our minds aren't limited. Our spirits are not limited by time and space in any sense that his isn't.
I don't think by